Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast. I am happy to say that this time Mary Jacina is back to join us for our monthly full moon report, our favorite astrologer, seer, mystic, beautiful scorpionic Halloween birth baby is back. Her voice is almost 100%. So bear with her and send her some love and grace for her throat to continuously heal. Mary, it's so good to have you back here for this full moon in Leo coming up on the 5th of February. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Nicole. Hello, audience. Thank you for all your wonderful light and your vibrations as we get together as a collective tribe of the heart chakra and we allow these divine alignments of our recent retrogrades back last month when I couldn't be with you. As Nicole and I have discussed, the Mercury retrograde, the Mars retrograde, and the sign of communication and travel, and then Uranus retrograde, all of those went forward again after taking us backwards in time as time travelers to clean up and clear out where we might have been getting in our own way, doing some self-sabotage, or maybe not taking care of our own energy centers by getting too busy with the holidays and wanting to show everybody how much we love them and get materially kind of strapped down because we tend to show that at Christmas and Hanukkah financially. So we might have kind of pushed it to the edge with the parties and the obligations and the stressors that we can do during holiday seasons. So this new moon we just had is technically the first new moon with the planets direct for our new year, our seven numerological new year of 2023. So the Aquarian energy is really launching in the year of the Black Water Rabbit and the Chinese Lunar New Year. We're actually launching this year in tandem with the lunar vibrations. So the Leo full moon rising over the 5th, 4th, 5th, 6th, I give it 3 days as an astrologer of a long time. So Leo is the heart chakra. So all that you went through as far as delays, temporary no's, well, that doesn't look like that's going to happen, or how come that went sideways? The Leo full moon actually can bring us a richer, deeper, resonating understanding of how we truly have been shielded and blessed and empowered by maybe it was the divine, maybe it was God, maybe it was Great Spirit that removed that or them from our lives temporarily or forever. Because when you level up, people come in our lives, jobs come in our lives, scenarios come in our lives as a blessing way, a reason, and sometimes just for a season. But we're always going to receive both a lesson and a teaching from something, whether it was a plus or a minus. So Leo is one of my favorite full moons, even when there's some stressful celestial dynamics to it in the mechanics celestially. I love the Leo moon because it reminds us to go within and trust the heart.
And with Leo representing the heart chakra of the zodiac, ruling the heart, the inner child, this is truly about really listening to the deep inner desires, inner pleasures, inner fun,
courage. And yes, if you think about toddlers, if you think about your own self as that fresh, gregarious inner child or the shy introverted child that was maybe bold in nature, but very reticent to connect with humans. Don't blame them. This Leo moon is saying, and how long has it been since you've reconnected and embraced your inner child, no matter what your biological age is right now? You can be 55 or 28 or 35 and turn to your inner child in meditation, prayer, ceremony and say, you know what? It's been a long time since I've invited you into my current timeline. So let's divorce and bury the old versions of ourself, because I'm a goddess and I'm, you know, one with the Almighty I Am. And so it's as above, so below, on earth as it is in the heavens. And this is Leo, and this is the heart, and this is the 2023 full moon of the inner child dynamics and faith and exuberance and adventure. And so Leo is all about how you and I can encourage our inner child and bring her into the Renaissance male, the dynamic goddess female, and we can have that convo with our inner child and say, so it's me and you at the feast, and it's me and you, and I would like to really deeply listen to where you're at and what you like about my life right now, our life right now. I want to fully embrace and dovetail and incorporate you into the higher parts of what matters with this Leo moon. So whether you do it before you go into the Dream Lodge, or you do light a little sage or frankincense and just sit down outside under the stars, or in nature when you're walking and say, walk with me today, hike with me today, my inner child, and let me know, feel, and listen to your voice and your needs, because our inner child is the heart wisdom. It is the heart wisdom. It always comes from the heart. Even when little kids do something like, I don't want to. No. I mean, they don't have to give a bunch of villainous statements and words and people-pleasing, empathic crap. The inner child just goes, I don't want to. That's a no for me. No. So It's time that we engage with our little her, our little him, and say, you know what? You're my teacher now. You're my master guide right now. It's a Leo full moon, and we're in Aquarius season. And Aquarius is the 11th sign. It's about dream weaving, and it's about goals, and it's about the tribe, and it's about the community effort, and it's about the long-range dream, the long-range goal. And Aquarius is all about that bold, unique, I don't have to go with what society says I ought to think or do. Aquarius is about, I'm avatar. I'm looking at my indigenous DNA culture and what's a part of my Scottish heritage and my Cherokee heritage, and where I landed on this planet and what my tribal ancestors held to be in high esteem. I want to connect with my tribe and my ancestral wisdom, and I invite my tribe and all my past soul walkabouts and all the strengths and the goodness and the skill sets that we gained in tandem in those other lifetimes and those soul developments, and I'm going to bring them all right here, right now, because that's what you can do when you understand that time is an illusion, and that we are alchemists and we are magicians, and even spiritually, all that the Father has is within us. It's within us. So Mother Nature, our true biological mother, is saying, you feed off of me, I sustain you with the stars and the sun and the rain and growing things, and how you choose to engage in the beauty of my shields and my creatures, and all that you do to bless me as you engage with Mother Earth. And Great Spirit is our Father. So as we incorporate and let the mystical marriage of the divine masculine Yang and the divine feminine, my beloved Mother Nature, Gaia, and let those be in the mystical marriage of harmony and compatibility and not against each other or divisive, then we move into the power of the lioness, the lion, the king of beasts of the mammalian world. We move into the lion-hearted, the brave heart, the lion, the king of beasts. And here we have Aquarius in the tarot. Aquarius is the star. She's a star creature. So we're connecting with the star beings. We're being fed by the radiations of the constellations. And so Aquarius is saying to us, let us not forget from whence we came. We are made of the same chemical compositions as the stars. So these are our compass as we look up, as we seek encouragement, as we need to recalibrate and let our DNA and our atomic and cellular natures be fortified. It's the stars. It's the sun during the day, the great star, and the Milky Way galaxy. So we need to stop putting our heads down on our phones or on our iPads or our computers, and we need to connect with the stars, which have replenished the indigenous cultures all the way back through time, and the star beings that, in my personal little humble opinion, helped create us anyway. We're one with that. And then the Leo comes in to say, when's the last time you honored your heart and you put everything else and everybody else on a back burner and you went into that divine meditation to say, what's my heart craving? What's my heart creatively pursuing? What makes my heart feel secure? That's where we go to the table at this period between the supermoon over the weekend of January 21st, 22nd, the Lunar New Year of the rabbit. Think about the tortoise and the hare. We all know that story about how the rabbit, the hare was jumping around the tortoise, the Cancerian tortoise, it just kept going, steady as she goes, but the rabbit was making fun of it. You're so slow. I got this. I'm going to win the race. But the hare got distracted, and the hare, you know, took all these side paths and got bougie and got extra and needed all the attention and the applause, and the tortoise just kept going, focused on the goal. So this square of Uranus and Taurus, our lunar node, the north node still in Taurus, Uranus now direct in Taurus, it's going to square energetically the Earth energy. There's my mama Earth again. The mother Earth energy, that steady as she goes tortoise, turtle, is saying, get your focus, incorporate your inner child, fortify your...
Oh, we've lost Mary. 1 second while we get her back. All right, we've got Mary back on the line. She has some work going on the landlines around her, so just bear with us as we get here. And you were just finishing your story about the tortoise and the hare and how the hare got distracted and went off the path, and then the tortoise won the race.
So the Taurus focus is steady as she goes. When you deal with the signs of Taurus,
yes,
the Earth's fixed sign of Taurus, it keeps its focus on what it needs to accomplish in the material realm, like what makes it feel secure, what makes it feel like it stayed focused on the task at hand, what's the end game win. And so the hare or the rabbit, you know, it's a highly electrical charged creature like Aquarius. So it gets distracted easy. It gets a little ADD. It gets distracted by a little pretty on the side of the path. Oh, look, there's some clover. I'm going to eat that. I'm faster than the tortoise anyway. So the tortoise never lost focus of where it was going. So the north node and Uranus direct in Taurus squaring off with the Leo full moon is saying, keep the focus, Taurus, of your heart and your inner child. That's the only race you ever need to win, because when we are at peace and in harmony with our main vital chakra of the heart, I personally believe our spirit and our higher version of ourself and our soul star hang out at the heart chakra. I believe it does a dance between the crown chakra of the third eye, the pineal gland, and the heart. So right now, instead of everything else that's trying to distract you, our discipline or our exercise would be, so what do I need to focus on, Mary, with my sign, all 12 signs? What do I need to focus on? No matter what sign you are, no matter what your rising sign is, you need to focus on the Leo aspect, if you know your natal chart, and the Aquarius aspect of what does your unique, individual, bold self now want to do to upgrade your belief systems to go at your goal in a more inventive, innovative, unique way. That's the Aquarius. So what spiritual practices could I carve out a niche of time for to replenish how I connect with my divine harmony? Is it Reiki? Is it music? Is it art? Is it dancing? Is it solitude? Aquarius is saying, shut up letting other people drain you and get centered with yourself and Mother Nature and the stars and have that conversation with your inner child. Prioritize yourself or stop whining and complaining, because Taurus is like, I'm going to do it and I'm going to win, because that's the big win. And so the Leo moon, even though it's got a square coming in from Taurus, squares in astrology in a mystical, metaphysical way, the square 90 degree aspect is about, where are we derailing our own selves? Where are we getting in our own way? Are we complaining but not applying? Are we whining and getting stuck in victim status and distracting our energies from being able to be victorious instead of once again the victim or looking for the villain? So this fixed signs require our attention to the goal. Period.
Yes, no, they do. And I think, you know, when you have a planet like Uranus squaring the full moon, Uranus is all about big change, right? Wanting to break free of something, bring in some unexpected surprise change. But like you said, at the 90 degree angles, because you're kind of going off the path or you need to course correct. And so there might be some sort of course correction coming up here through this Leo full moon. And what I think is really interesting is that Uranus went retrograde on the 24th of August, which is in the sign of Virgo, but it's only just a couple of days into Virgo. And so I find it really interesting that we're now, when this Leo full moon is happening, it's kind of around the 6 month mark of when, you know, Uranus went retrograde and is now direct. So when we have a planet going retrograde, there's a lot of internal work or redoing or restructuring, you know, reevaluating things. It's more of an internal journey for the most part. So now it's about trying to take that, have the courage, the Leo courage, to make the changes that maybe you've been putting off or avoiding or hoping that something else would course correct itself, but maybe it's you that's being called now.
I have found over 35 plus years of working with all kinds of different retrogrades and all that, I have found when we've got a triad of retrogrades before they go direct, like we did with Uranus retrograde and then Mercury and Mars, I have found that even though we know when we study astrology that we're supposed to go internal, I have found that it's the external distractions that bow up, that arise, that tend to make us be the rabbit and get distracted on the path. I've found that humans resist change. And humans, it's like, well, I got to get this done. I don't have time for that. It's the holidays. It's the new year. I'm busy. I don't have time to deal with that. We resist it. We know better, but we resist it anyway. So we buck up and we throw a temper tantrum metaphysically, spiritually. Then when it turns around, because it's a bridge of, it's both the teacher, we're in the classroom, and we're also being the professor and the teacher of our own dynamic. And so when it goes direct, like it did, but when we've got the final direct motion of Uranus direct in Taurus over the 22nd of January, right when we were having that supermoon, right after, a day after the supermoon, so it was all in the web of enlightenment, what happens is we go, whoa, what the hell just went on over the last month? That was intense. So if we're savvy, then like Nicole just mentioned, we go back, okay, wait a minute. My bridge of discovery started in the third week of August, around the 24th of August, when that went retrograde. And then we had another retrograde happen around October the 30th, the day before Halloween. And then Mercury was retrograde in Capricorn while we were going through Yuletide, winter solstice, and all that kind of stuff. Then we come into the new year, and it's just like, what? So what's happening now is that with the Leo moon, it's like, oh, ye of a mighty heart, now look back to what was a priority at the end of summer as we were coming into the autumnal equinox of the Northern Hemisphere. Look back when you were excited that autumn was happening and the leaves were on fire and you were getting outside in nature. And look back when you were looking at Samhain and Halloween. And then look back as you were going, oh boy, here comes Thanksgiving and the relatives and Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa. Look back at all the things that grabbed and demanded your attention until we crossed over into the retrograde planets of the new year of 2023. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a really big exclamation point and emphasis point. The biggest months of 2023 are March into May. We will have a Venus retrograde in the third week of July. Venus will retrograde in Leo. And this full moon right here, this full moon of February 5th, oh, honey, it doesn't go away just because February 5th happens. The match to it comes August 1st. When the full moon will rise in Aquarius while the sun is in Leo. So if you'll jot these dates down, if you'll say, okay, I have another bridge. My Leo heart chakra full moon of February 5th is starting a new Vision Quest Bridge soul journey of my heart, my emotions, my intimacy, and embracing my inner child in tandem with my highest version of myself, completely allowing the plug-in to my divine holy guides, the better versions of myself, that I have a blooming on August the 1st. It's big. And when I do astrology, I become the time traveler and I go backwards and then I go forwards. Mm-hmm. And instead of laboring the client with the degree and all the planetary aspects, they're going, oh shit, I'm trying to understand that, but it's too complicated. Here's what I found I like when I study astrology and clients want, and what's that mean to me? And what's my bottom line? I don't need the $500 words. Tell me what it means to me and what's my overview theme for 2023. First, the numerology. 2023 adds to a 7-year. Violet flame, transmutation, crown chakra. It's more of the path of solitude. And you can have your intimate joys. You can have the people that you want to connect with. But I promise you, the divine and God is going to move certain people out of your path that you've been familiar with because they don't serve the higher purpose right now. Nothing wrong with them. Nothing wrong with you. Here's my term. Access denied because they're not a priority orbit for you right now to further embrace leveling up and your higher version of yourself. That's the bottom line.
I've been feeling that, yeah. Mary, like, and I've been seeing that that's been kind of more of a theme more than usual is yep. that there is the removal of people from your life, or off your path, whether it's temporary or maybe it's long-term, who knows? And again, like you said, it's not because they're doing something wrong or you're doing, it's just not in alignment right now. And there is something very much about sacred alignment for this year being a 7-year. And I feel that. And you guys in the live audience who are watching this on YouTube right now, like let me know, are you guys experiencing this as well? Are you experiencing that you're noticing that certain relationships are maybe just falling to the wayside, or, and it may not be like even a struggle, it's just gone, you know, and it's okay. And no one's trying to make it work or not, because it really is just the way it's meant to be right now. Or maybe there are some struggles, but it does feel like that. It does feel, you know, very much that this year is, what are you sacredly aligned with, and stick to that path.
The last time Saturn visited Pisces, it briefly was in Pisces in 1993, May, June. And then it embraced its full transit of that 2.5 to 3 years of Pisces in 94 through 96. Think back to the music. Think back to where you were living. Think back to what your priority was then. Was it college? Was it a relationship? Was that, what was the dynamic of how you were increasing your wealth, both spiritually? Were you even in to the mystical spiritual things, or were you just on your game partying? Look back to that 93 to 96 period, but there was just a brief period in 93, like we put our toe into the water in May and June of 93, and then it was like full bore. So that's the last time we have not had.
You want to know something really cool? Can I share a really cool story about that?
Please, please.
So, because I was just thinking about this a week or two ago, and I was wondering, I'm like, okay, Saturn's moving into Pisces. Where was Saturn in Pisces, like during, you know, the last time that it was here? And I was like, oh my gosh, that is when I went to live in Switzerland for 3 months on a student exchange program, which was in 94. However, to get there, I applied in May, June of 93.
Bada bing, bada boom.
And that, I will tell all of you, is that was one of the biggest choices of my life that I know changed the complete trajectory of my life, because done that, I would have never traveled overseas at a time where the internet was really not much at that point. And I would have never experienced living abroad on my own, 16 years old, never even been on a plane without my parents before, never been overseas before.
Huge.
And
huge.
I lived in a country where the language, there were 4 different languages, French, German, Italian, and their dialect. And I lived in the mountains and took trains, and like, we would hitchhike, like, which would have been a no-no in Canada, you know, when I was living that, that was like an absolute no, but I experienced so much and it broadened my horizons. And I remember thinking to myself at 16, where I had my 17th birthday, and I thought, I vow to myself that I will see this world. I'm going to yep. travel. I'm going to explore. And it really was the beginning of my spiritual journey, because I remember going into a lot of different churches where the organ sounds, and there was a lot of Gregorian chants. Like, the mother of the family I stayed with really introduced me to that, which was how I started meditating. And yes. so Saturn in Pisces was a very exploratory time for me that really opened up my spiritual path. It opened up my world, so to speak.
Well, it introduced you to the majesty of the uniqueness of the inner world. And let's not forget that how music can heal, and vibrations and frequencies can enhance epigenetics, our actual DNA resonance is, you know, how vibrations and words and sounds can heal or annoy is part of the Pisces too. Saturn in Pisces, look at the plus and minus without judgment. Pisces is about surrender. Pisces is about stop trying to be a control freak and micromanage and think you're better busy all the time. You need to get, Aquarius is like that first part of it. You know, when Saturn's in Aquarius, it's like, oh my God, I'm fitting in with society's boxes and I'm so predictable and I'm kind of bored with how I'm limiting myself with not enough uniqueness. This is a big planet. There's a lot going on. And maybe I'm just stuck to my career, or I'm trying to project and blame my partner, but it's me. It's not my partner. They're just showing up and being who they are, you know, so I don't need to blame the job or the partner. I need to look at what's my dissatisfaction coming from? What's the seed? What's the core? Because when you plant the seed, you don't eat the fruit the same day you plant the seed. So Saturn leaving Aquarius, and Aquarians and Leos have had this, I mean, it's been the spotlight for them of karmic lessons and shedding and cleansing and taking off the fear coat. But when Saturn leaves a sign, it brings the rewards of that sign. Here's where you pay attention, put on your listening ears. The Aquarius house, the Aquarius zone of your starry natal, your birth chart, the Aquarius zone is where Saturn has had its thumb on things for the last 3 years. So when we get to March 7th, 8th, and not all on that same day, please, but as we start the shift of Saturn into Pisces, the rewards of what we had to surrender to, where we had to amplify our faith, humans don't like to surrender. They like to control. They find some pleasure. They find an orgasm. They find some happiness. It's like, no, I don't want to shift. I want to stay right here and don't let anything change. And so that's not spirit. The only constant is change. So the Aquarian dynamic is the fixed air, heaven to earth, the fixed air element, that bold, zany, unique, bombastic part of us that some people let express more than others, the bohemian side of us, is going to bring us the blessing way is coming in the Aquarian planets and houses in our chart. Where Aquarius is in your birth chart, it's where Saturn, the karmic sheriff, is going to say, job well done. This is what you learned. Congratulations. You're graduating. You're Aquarius.
Well done works too.
That's right. Yeah, well done. Yeah, well done, well done. Because with Saturn, you get kicked in the ass. So now Saturn is saying, okay, you've now graduated from the Aquarian College, but now you're entering in your PhD program of Pisces. The lines can get blurred. Your emotions can try to take too much control of you. The minuses of Pisces in our chart, in all our charts, we have Pisces. Don't just look at Pisces people. The Pisces zone is, here's some minuses. I want to escape. I want to get drugged. I want to have sex all the time. I want to take another prescription pill. Or the pluses of Pisces. I want to go dance. I want to go to a ceremony. I want to hear the drum. I want to get my vibrato thrill from the pipe organ, the Gregorian chants. I want to be among some other cultures and bear witness to what lifts their vibrations higher. So Pisces is off planet. It's off planet. And it can be some real grounding, Saturn, by whatever religious or spiritual principles or protocols actually give you that discipline of the tortoise.
You know, like you I'm really glad you're saying that, Mary, because I think that, you know, everyone gets a little freaked out about Saturn transits. Because we know, like you said, it's the karmic Lord, Lord of time. Saturn comes to bring in the wisdom through the lessons, but Saturn in Pisces in particular is a very nice transit, especially while Neptune's there. The two planets, I think, are working very harmoniously together to bring in this grounding element where people may have gotten, you know, like, okay, here's how I see it. You can get very caught up in like, oh, I want to be more 5D. I want to really pull in my higher self to this actual body, but I don't like being in my body. I just want to be elsewhere. I want my consciousness to explore. Well, Saturn's coming into saying, no, you've got to bring all that spirituality, ground it through your body and start living it. This is not the time to just be having it out there in the dream world or, you know, being really airy fairy about it. It's about really getting practical with your spiritual practice and putting it into play.
The main tool until the nodes change this year from Taurus, Scorpio into Aries, Libra, the main focus, because Neptune can be very imaginative and theatrical and open your eyes in mystical ways in a fantastic journey. I mean, it's like, whoa, I went to my home planet. Whoa, my spirit guides. Absolutely. I had spirit tea, but with Saturn there, Saturn's like, you better work with your main tool in your toolbox right now is discernment, spiritual discernment, to be able to test the essence, the energies, the spirit, the intention of what's coming at you, and especially the spirit world. Like, you don't just go play with a spirit board or a Ouija board. You don't just, as a novice, decide that you're going to go, oh, I'm going to go on an EV outing and I'm going to go into a graveyard that I've never been in before. And I'm like, oh, excuse me, have you learned about protections? Have whatever religion or spirituality that your childhood anchor was, do you know? Have you studied how to shield your aura? Have you studied about how to call in your sacred guardian angel? Like, you just don't, as a human novice, go traipsing over to a graveyard at night and disturb, trying to get some electronical voice commands and disturb the dead. I mean, are you kidding me? Do you have any logic with that? Because you know what? That entity's going, oh, you want some action? I'll go home with you, bitch. So you don't test the waters in some kind of bougie, ego-driven, ignorant, human ego-driven way when you're coming into the paranormal or a spirit world. You don't do that. Now, if you've taken a class and that's your fascination and the person that's doing these haunted tours isn't doing it just for applause or money or TV time and faking some stuff so they can get ratings or numbers or followers, if they're really saying, hey, this is serious business here. You have to watch what Edgar Cayce, a Pisces, talked about the glamour world of spirituality. Mm. You have to watch the things that go bump in the night, the monster that can be in your closet or under your bed, because you're going unfettered and undisciplined. There's that hare and rabbit jumping around again, and you're not paying attention to what the safety protocols are and the respect that's required when you go into contact with your ancestors or the spirit world or off planet or astral travel. You get your ass in trouble. I'm going to go astral project and you don't know what you're doing. The astral realm is full of the most terrifying nightmares and the most magical, mystical experiences that you can have. So you just don't see the word astral travel going, I'm going to go do that. Because the spirit world's going, ha, you're mine, honey. It'll give you a thrill, all right. Just like if you're going to do ayahuasca or DMT or LSD, if you're going to do hallucinogenic mushrooms, I mean, you want to talk to somebody that's done it. Your experience isn't going to be like theirs necessarily, but you need to hear, I'm going to go back to my point for this month, the pluses and the minuses that are potentially going to happen. When my friends did LSD, I never wanted to do it. When my friends did LSD, I'm the Scorpio that stepped forward and said, you know what? I'll be your sitter. I'll be your watcher for the next 24 hours. because they like all wanted to do it at once in the room. I'm like, oh, hell no. You get to do it this weekend. You do it next Wednesday. Otherwise, I'm not going to be your sitter because this is a big commitment of a job. I'm a psychic. I'm a mystic. I can see you're going to be out there seeing the walls move and the colors come and wow, you know, and the one guy, a Capricorn that was always wanting to push the limits, you know, he drove his car off the bridge into the water because he didn't have a sitter. Any of the tribe, any of his friends, he went off the bridge and just went full speed in Florida off the bridge, crashed his car and drowned on LSD because he decided he could do it on his own. So I'm not telling you that to scare you. That was talk about a trajectory change. All of us looked at each other and we said, we told him not to do that. We told him all of us would step up and do it. But he just had to push, you know, spirit, if you don't think spirit and your guides, if you keep getting your ego erect, if you don't think spirit will let you have the ultimate lesson that you need to have, it will. So with Saturn going into Pisces, come as the respectful novice, the respectful Buddhist or nun or priest, come to the table respectful saying, thank you, great spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, angelic kingdom, for allowing me to learn. I'd like to do my initial lessons of discernment to be able to test and recognize the plus or minus, the dark or the light of what I'm feeling in nature, what I'm feeling in the spirit world. And if it feels creepy, scary clown, not to my higher good, I don't need to push it because I'm curious and bored today. Because it'll light you up. It will light you up. And then you'll have to find somebody to help you have an entity release experience or an exorcism or whatever that is. I'm not telling you this to scare you. Go talk to your mystical friends. Go talk to anybody that's a life coach or has gone through trauma-based experiences or done a lot of drugs or been an addict, sex addict, porn addict, party addict. Go talk to these people that have got about 10 years on you, grew up with addictive parents, got abused. Go talk to these people and say, look, your experience is going to be your experience. But just to boldly go where no one has gone before isn't the right kind of attitude when you're going to go on a completely new adventure that's unfamiliar territory. Would you just go walking into the woods at night with just a flashlight and a little snack? No. It could snow. It could rain. There could be bears. There could be mountain lions. I mean, come on. Saturn in Pisces, what's the polarity to Pisces? Virgo. Anytime a planet changes, it's pulling in the polarity of that. So Virgo is your practical prepper survivalness about whatever it is that you want to engage in off planet or mystical or whatever. So the Virgo would be the one to say, oh, you're going to do ayahuasca? Well, make sure you do it in a group. Make sure you have and there's a lot of wannabe shamans, okay? Make sure you have a person that's the guide. You know this, Nicole. Make sure you have someone that's going to say to you, okay, you've never been to a medicine wheel? Okay, I'm going to talk to you about the four directions. I'm going to talk to you about the medicine animals. I mean, I went into full training with the indigenous tribal elders and the medicine men brothers before I ever sat my happy ass down in a medicine healing ceremony because I wanted to be respectful because I knew with my Indian blood in me, I knew that I was going to be summoning my ancestors and I am the product of every one of their tears, their deaths, their loves, their laughter. I am part of that, and as I do things, I still affect the collective realm of seven generations back. So there's Saturn is responsibility. Saturn is discipline. So when you I promise you, you'll have a better overarching experience if you come into it with that spiritual bow of like, yes, I wish to know what are the boundaries and what are the best ways that I can be a part and a participant of this soul enriching experience without being disrespectful. Yeah, that. When I was studying Buddhism and I was going to go to my first training with a Vietnamese Buddhist priest, I sat down, I was quiet. He led the meditation circle. He was opening up our third eye. There were like 20 people there. And one girl just went into this full bore possessive channeling bullshit that was going on. And I'm like, holy crap. You know, I was just sitting there quiet, but I wanted to bear witness. And afterwards, he came up to me and he said, and she was like pointing to people, you know, in the circle, trying to like channel like a whatever Seth or Rampa or whatever that was kind of in it. It was in the 90s, Nicole. That was, and she was like with their head thrown back like The Exorcist and all this bullshit. Of course, I'm sitting there going, don't point at me, bitch, because it's coming right back at you. And she went, and she was like, a third of you in this room, and she's trying to do all this prophetic stuff. And she went to point to me, and I said, oh, no, I rebuke that right now. Back into you, spirit. And she totally came out of it and looked and goes, what just happened? I said, yeah, well, not me, not here, not today. And that's all I said. So I thought, oh, no, I'm in trouble. I was disrespectful, you know, but I will protect my shield. So the Buddhist priest came up to me and he said, what did you see? What did you see when she went into that phase of where she was out of control of herself and whatever that was? We won't define it, but whatever that was. And I said, I saw demons. I saw entity attachments. And he said, yes. I thought I was going to get reprimanded. And he said, yes, exactly so. And what did you feel? What did you feel in your heart? Back to the heart, Leah. And I said, well, I felt sorry for her, and I became a warrior, and I wanted to protect her because obviously she was out of control. And even though it was not my job, I was bearing witness, because in Buddhism, you're not attached to the outcome. So I was like bearing witness and letting her have her moment there. But there was a part of me that's like, don't point that shit at me, because I'll stop you right here. This is me. This is my aura. This is my energy. You're not invading me. You want to take control of that? That's between you and her. You're not coming over here. And he said, and I said, now teach me, what did you experience? Because here's my main lesson of why I came here today. And he said, when I saw the demon too, exactly what you said is correct. And he said, and I looked at the demon, and the demon said to me in telepathic exchange, I'm with her. And I said to the demon, of all the places that you could have gone today with her, thank you for coming here so she could find relief. And I thanked the demon for coming into a spiritual circle. And I said, whoa, that's fantastic. Didn't even see it. Didn't even get it. I am forever changed because of that wisdom. And that's the part of Buddhism. That's the part of Sufism. That's the part of the Hindu. That's the part of these different cultures. If you take one pearl, if you take one white diamond illuminating consciousness of that, it will forever protect you, bless you, let you grant inspirations and illuminations for people. Because I didn't see that. I was on the same page as the Buddhist priest, and I looked at him and I said, thank you for that. That is exactly why I came today. Thank you for that. And thank you for Buddhism blessing me in this way for my teaching and as a student forever in this incarnation. I have truly been aligned and blessed. So everybody's experience in the circle was different, but I knew what an honor it was. I'd never met that Buddhist Vietnamese priest before that escaped the Vietnam War and took the higher road. For him, of all those people to come to me and talk to me, oh, you better believe I went automatically humble. Like, oh, spirit's having this guy come talk to me. I'll take the reprimand. I'll take the admonishment, whatever it is. But that jewel that happened right there is a light that I carry with me for the rest of my days. So it can come at you hot as a plus or a minus. I didn't let the minus demon point to me and give me prophecy. I stopped it cold. I came in hot back to the demon, but still allowed her to have her experience. But the priest came in hot with all the pluses that fully rounded out the orbit of my experience of empowerment. So it can be in fantastic ways that this off-planet, mystical, ceremonial Saturn moving into Pisces. And we'll talk more about that, you know, next month. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. But I'm telling, I like to give, when there's astrological transits that are really changing, like Saturn's going out of Aquarius, but Pluto is going to leave, you know, almost 20 years of being in Capricorn, go back to 2008, and it's going to shift into Aquarius. I'm telling you people, here's a prophecy you can count on. We're about to trip the light fantastic, and there's about to be tech and innovations that are plus or minus. I have a lot of minuses going on psychically with me with what they're trying to push with the AI agenda and the global agenda. Okay, that's just me. But we have the ability now to truly be plugged in, recharged, and altered forever in the pluses of the Aquarian starseed, the light language, the full embodiment of putting on a cloak of color, like the color right now, that will protect you psychically, violet, purples, royal, and cobalt blues. Get it in your wardrobe. Breathe it in your prayers, your ceremonies, and your meditations. Make your breath those colors when you're inhaling.
Well, let me drop this little seed in everyone's mind for Pluto moving into Aquarius, which it'll only be there for a few months this year and not until again January of next year. But I believe that on some level, over the next 20 years or so, that many of us are going to not just kind of understand, but truly believe and embody the knowing that the greatest technology on this planet is you.
Yes.
You are living and breathing and moving around on this planet in the greatest technology that will ever come to this planet. And I believe that as Pluto moves through Aquarius over the next 20 years, this will start to become a deeper realization where many who are ready to fully explore with responsibility, because with great power comes responsibility, but truly explore what that means. To understand that the technology that you may think you need outside of you is already within you and operational. It just requires self-mastery to fully engage it.
So watch your words. Start to examine your self-talk. Start to examine what you're ruminating when you're with yourself, driving your car, or walking in nature. What's the topic? Why are you stuck there? Where are you the hamster on the wheel with words and affirmations and intentions? And realize that all the Father has is within you. The divine heaven is within you. You are the living temple of the Almighty I Am. And so when you start to escape the matrix and you start to escape the fear and the global greed agenda wanting to keep you as the bah, 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 scared sheep, when you realize that from your own dining room table, while you're driving your own car waiting in a traffic light, you are a master alchemist, one with the divine Almighty I Am, one with everything to heal yourself, everything to manifest. But the first rule of magic and manifesting is, oh, be careful of what you ask for. You may get it. And as Nicole said, with that comes the responsibility of managing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So don't just cast out, oh, I want great sex, or I want that. No, you don't know what you're talking about, because you may get addicted to a person and have the best sex that you've ever had, and everything else in your world starts to fall apart because you gave that too much of a priority. It can be pleasant, but you can't give it too much of a priority.
Yeah. And here's what's so beautiful about Saturn moving into Pisces in March is that it's going to give many people an energetic alignment to truly
yes.
become a master of your spirituality, of the deeper psychic parts of you, and really hone those skills so that you, when it's time to truly come alive, so to speak, you're ready. So I think it's a great opportunity. And to kind of get us back into this full moon in Leo, I'd like to just, because I think it's a really nice segue here, is I just want to mention the 16 degrees of Leo.
Yes.
It's kind of like what that means is the storm has ended and all of nature rejoices in brilliant sunshine. The surge of life and love after a major crisis is occurring, and how brilliant the light after the long night of the soul. So in many ways, this full moon is kind of emphasizing, you know, with this Uranus, like, you know, maybe it's time for a course correction. There's going to be a sudden change or a breakthrough here for many of us, or maybe it might be a breakdown. It just depends on what's going on in your world. But
okay, well, look at the seven, Nicole. 16 degrees. The full moon rises on 2/5. That's a seven.
Mm-hmm.
16 degrees adds to a seven.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh tarot card is the Chariot of mm-hmm. Cancer, the Crab. We go back to, you know, the fact of the internal realm. You know, and when Saturn goes into Pisces, I'd like to say this about that. How we walk and navigate and survive and prep when we're on land is completely different than when we're on the ocean. Saturn is joining Neptune in the ocean realm, the mysteries of the deep, the mysteries of the ocean. There's a whole nother thing you have to do when you're learning to get your sea legs, or if you're relying on the ocean and fishing or where you jump into the ocean and where you don't. And when I lived in Florida for a while, they never advertised it in Florida because it's a state of tourism. But when I lived on the beach, and when red tide comes, it's an algae that kills and suffocates all the sea life. And so every morning before the tourists want to go to the beach by 7-8 o'clock in the morning, because that's when they like to start, these big tractors come and they've got to scrape off all the dead fish and the crabs. They got to scrape all that off and get rid of it because it can harm the tourism. Like, ooh, the beach is gross. What's the matter? So the state of Florida or anybody that gets red tide has to do that. But it's an algae that suffocates the sea life. So, and when I was living in Florida, I remember when I went for my doctor for your little female checkup, he said, you know, people that live in Florida need to know about red tide and how that can infect or affect your internal female organs. And I'm like, what? And he goes, well, you know, we breathe down there where we have openings. Okay. So whether you're a guy or a girl, we both have openings down there where we have our excretions, your mouth, your nose, your skin, and your lady parts. You know, when you go swimming in the ocean, that's all going in there. And I'm like, oh God, you know, so think about the Pisces, Virgo, germ phobia that could start to come. But there's some very real, again, discernment. There's data that you need to do. Don't just search the internet. Talk to people that know the ocean. Talk to people. Don't just go swim with the dolphins. There's so many people that go to the Bahamas and the Caribbean and Mexico and Florida because they wanted to be swim with the dolphins things. Here's what they don't learn that you better learn before you go swim with the dolphins. If you're a woman and you're on your monthly cycle, the dolphin can attack you or try to mate with you, no matter if you've got internal protection or not. You have different pheromones, and it comes at you because you're an alien. You're giving off a different hormonal and pheromone scent. So don't just go sign up for something without saying, now, what's the pluses and the minuses that I need to know about what disturbs the dolphin or the whales? What disturbs them before I get in the water? Well, they don't like women that are on their cycle. Thank you. I'll schedule it around that. I mean, again, ayahuasca, LSD, whatever it is that you're trying, well, I'm going to have an out-of-body experience and I'm going to force it. You better do some research, bitch. You better figure out what's going on. Because ocean life, living on a beach, I went through many, many hurricanes. And let me tell you, storm surge prior to a hurricane, like not so many hurricanes hit the Gulf, but the tropical storms that come before they navigate where the hurricane's actually going to hit, the eye of the hurricane, yeah, that's EYE. The eye of the hurricane is calm, but the outer bands and the tropical storms will rip up your seaside town. I've lived through it. Mm-hmm. I've lived through it. It's amazing. It's amazing. And you start to watch the birds. Aquarius is heavens. It's the birds. This year, going into March, start watching what birds, if you're in a migratory area, watch what birds are returning. Watch what birds are going through. Like today I got up and I'm like, oh my God, I've got 14 turkeys over there waiting for me to go put out bird seed. That's not usual. I've got all my, and they all were getting along. And there came my 12 geese up the driveway. It's like 9 o'clock this morning. And I'm like, okay. And the squirrels are chattering like, hurry up. We want the food. And all the blue jays and the crows are like bitching outside. And I'm like, damn, it's a bird morning. You know, I mean, they don't usually do that. They don't usually all come together. So I knew, because another part of Aquarius shifting into Pisces is this spiritual phrase, behold, eyes that will see, ears that will hear, behold, I send you signs and wonders to behold. So it's like the Jewish people celebrate in September, they celebrate what they call the 10 days of awe, A-W-E. First they have atonement, and then they have the 10 days of awe. So their new year isn't January 1st. So you can extract mystical wisdoms from a lot of different cultures. So I feel that metaphysically, we're going into the 10 days of awe as we come into the 10 days before Saturn on March 7th, slipping into Pisces. And then around March 22nd, the 10 days prior, as Pluto is beginning to briefly put its toe into the ocean waters going into Aquarius. Here's Saturn leaving Aquarius. Here's Pluto, the ruler of Scorpio, the lord of the underworld, the expose of negative or positive agendas. We're going to see so much in the political and the corruption and the pedophilia, because this Leo full moon is going to further expose the agendas of people wanting to harm children. And that started when Saturn went into Leo in 2005. I remember lecturing about it in Florida. I remember nobody was thinking about child trafficking, really. Nobody was talking about it in the mainstream news. Nobody was talking about pedophilia. And I remember talking about it 2005, and I said, all of us need to become more vigilant advocates for children. People looked at me and said, where'd that come from? I said, Saturn's in Leo.
Mm-hmm. Saturn's in Leo. I have to say, with that March 5th lunar eclipse in Scorpio coming up, May 5th. Scorpio eclipse is going to be happening as Pluto is in the 0 degrees of Aquarius. Yep. And the nodes, the south node is going to be very close to the 0 degrees. Well, it's getting there. It's getting closer. It's winding down, right?
On Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. So it's going to be, that particular time, I don't know, late April,
March
early
into May.
We're March in for some May. Interesting, yep. We're going to be in for an interesting ride around that time.
Back to your point about the DNA acceleration, mm-hmm. and atonement. All right, let's talk about three tarot cards real quick. So the star, it's the 17th tarot card. Get them out of your oracle decks. Just kind of line them up. Like, take seven of them. If you're a collector of decks, if you just have one deck, take the star card out, prop it up when you're having your morning coffee or tea. Go to the Leo card, strength, number 8. Put the strength card out there. Pull temperance, the angel of Sagittarius. Pull temperance, because that's balance. Because when we're looking at a polarity, we're wanting to balance as we're shifting with the Aquarius and Leo, because the nodes are still in the, there'll be a couple eclipses in the Taurus-Scorpio polarity. So go ahead then and stare, just visually stare and have a visual meditation and an intuitive conversation with the star card, number 17, and the strength card of Leo, especially around the full moon over the 4th, 5th, 6th of February. Then pull out the card of the High Priestess, and then pull out the card of the Hermit as we get closer to March, and look at the Pisces-Virgo axis. Now, there's disagreement on that. Some people see the Moon card not as Cancer. Some people see the Moon card as the Pisces card. I absolutely see the High Priestess as Pisces, and I absolutely see that pilgrimage and that solitary vision quest, the Hermit, as Virgo. That's just me. Yeah. I don't push my beliefs on other people. So whatever you resonate, find where you resonate with Virgo. Now, in your tarot decks, the Earth suit is primarily the Pentacles, the diamonds, and the Water suit is primarily the Cups, which are the hearts, as we're talking about Pisces and Virgo. With our Aquarius energies and the Leo, the swords are thoughts, vibrations, frequencies, heavenly visions. Okay, that's the swords. And then the Leo is the fire suit of the wands. So kind of look at that. Just kind of get, you don't have to know everything about an oracle deck or the tarot, but kind of look at, okay, Aquarius is the sky worlds and the cloud beings and the stars and the birds and the omens that I see in the sky and how I feel under the illumination of the stars, the full moon and the sunlight hitting my face. And then when you go to the Leo, then that's about aspirations, where Aquarius is inspiration and illumination and intuition in school with oneself. Leo is the fire. You know, the word desire means of the Father, sire. So my desire to arise and to overcome, and like you summoned up your innate empowerment to go to Switzerland, you know, in the 90s when you were 16. So like, that's a big, bold move for a girl when she's 16 going into 17 years old. So at 17, the star card, as you were moving from the 16th card into the 17th card, you took a trek, you took a vision quest, and you were illuminated in Aquarian ways because of that actual biological age of this incarnation that you decided to do that. And you were divinely protected because the next card would have been the moon, the mother, the mater, the Madonna, the higher aspect of the goddess of you, the child and the growing powerful woman were on a vision quest in tandem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you knew it. You had a knowing. Pisces is the knowing. Aquarius is to boldly go on the vision quest and to summon up the courage, polarity Leo, to do it. But Pisces is, yes, that's my music. Yes, yes, this is the acceleration of my soul. That's the plus of Pisces.
And I will say, I did get to celebrate my 17th birthday with a surprise trip to Paris.
Awesome. I think Paris is a Virgo, if I'm not, I might have to look that up. Don't take me at my word on that. There's a lot of Virgo energies around Paris, if I remember right. France, the country of France, I should say. But I just feel like, and when the nodes shift to Aries Libra, then we'll start to focus on those relationships that might kind of sidebar, or they move, or they go out of our life for a while, those friends. I mean, they're still our cherished friends. They're still part of our tribe, but there's going to be a shifting of priority in our personal, emotional, who we're sitting down with to have the wine or the champagne or the meal. That's going to all be in motion until the nodes shift into Aries Libra.
And then we're going to be
coming back together, and how we're going to be discussing how those sidebars and those vision quests and those moves and those travels or those breakups or those makeups, how we were actually fortified in consciousness when we went on our vision quest.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why I brought that up for everyone, why I mentioned my birthday in Paris on my 17th birthday while I was living in Switzerland at the time, is that, like you said, Mary, it was a bold move. It took a lot of courage for me to be able to leave my parents, my family, my country, everything that I ever knew, to go to a country that didn't necessarily really speak English. I mean, people could speak English there, but that was not a language that you would hear often, and have that experience. And I was rewarded. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we have this Leo full moon where you might be asked to be courageous about something, where you have to make a sudden move, course correct in some way, or make a choice, you know, like that there's something coming up here where you have to be a little bold. You have to have a little risk here, but there could be a really beautiful reward as a result for doing this.
There will be the beautiful reward. But remember, the nodes are getting ready to change after 18 months. Mm-hmm. And Scorpio, aka Pluto, is the death experience. It's the transition. You're no longer in the cocoon. The butterfly has to emerge. The caterpillar died. So I've had several people get news, not just older people get news. They've had deaths. They've had animal deaths. They've gotten the news that someone has 6 months only to live, that there's the death of the job. There's a relationship after 18 years. They're breaking up. Even if it's amicable in a marriage or a partnership, they've got to decide how to part their money, Taurus. So there's a lot of deaths that are going to happen before March, or the news of that is going to occur by March. And see, humans, again, we resist change. So when all of a sudden, you know, where you're living, the landlord dies, the property is going to get sold. That affects you emotionally and materialistically.
Mm-hmm.
Or all of a sudden, you thought you were going to be there another 5 years, and spirit goes, no, this is the divine calling, and we need to make a bold move on the chessboard of life and fate and karma right now. So everything you thought you had put on the shelves and all positioned and dusted and everything, you're going to be packing. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. There's going to be some extreme changes that come up between this full moon and news. They may not all occur, but let me mention again, by August 1st, this new moon and that full moon are wedded. So watch what happens between the seeds that are planted with that which is meant to be to push you forward. Because I'm going to say it again, humans and egos tend to go, I don't want to move. I like where I'm at. I think this is the relationship that's supposed to be with me for the rest of my life. Oh, do you? Okay. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Hope you can shift. Either way, hope you can shift, because if it's meant to be for you, it's not going anywhere. Stop trying to micromanage it or control it, bougie, fancy ass. Pisces is about that DNA acceleration, is about Holy Spirit, Almighty I Am, Great Spirit. You are in charge of bringing me the blessings. I summon it, I call it, but you've got to be able to take it. You've got to be able to let it activate you, and you've got to be able to receive it and bring it back into you. So many people ask, oh my God, my clients, ask, what are you receiving? What do you have faith in? Do you have any fuel in your faith tank? Are you empty? Are you running on empty? I've had clients use words. I let them describe what they're going through. And I've had, it's not picking on anybody. They're anonymous. But I've had clients in the last year use words like, oh, it tore me in half. It's ripping me apart. And then I've had many times, you know, especially guy clients will say, it's driving me crazy. I said, what's driving you? Well, who's driving? It tore you in half in your childhood. You're being ripped apart right now. You need some soul surgery. You need to repair your soul, and that requires light. I'm not picking on you, not suggesting the plus the minuses of blame and shame. Listen to yourself. When you have your voice taken away from you temporarily, you really start to pay attention to the words that people blather. Mm-hmm. Because when you get laryngitis, you have to do deep listening to yourself and to other people. It's an amazing shift of focus.
Well, yeah. Not only that, but you really need to be clear and specific about your words that you do
speak, ma'am.
Because that is high real estate in the sense of space that your voice can actually speak a word. So when you lose your voice like that, you know that whatever you're going to say, it better be meaningful.
Yep. Well, and words, you're casting life with your own pitch and tone and your own larynx and your own throat chakra. You know, it's like people will often say, when you're authentic, you find your voice, you say what you mean, and then that other part of receiving is, and you do what you say. All of us have known people that have given us these vacuous promises. Oh, I'll do this. I'll do that by Friday. Yeah, I'll have that. Yeah, I'll do that. You know, oh, yeah, I'll pay the rent. I'll do this. Yeah, I'll be there on Wednesday. And they just ghost you. So find your voice is an important, you know, to stand up for you. Find your voice. Say only what you mean and mean what you say. Mm-hmm. So don't make the commitment if you don't have the energy fuel to back it up with your integrity and your authenticity, because people like me will guillotine your ass and you're out of their life. I don't care how much money you have. If people don't show in my, people can have problems, but in my circles of people that I allow to spend my life force to spend time with, if you don't have integrity and authenticity, guillotine, you don't get me. And my two favorite words this year, access denied. That's not a punishment. That's a promise. Because I don't do that to people. I don't do that.
Well,
you know, I'll say I don't have the time for. Yeah, I don't.
Access denied is a form of self-love when done from the
absolutely
right place, right? It's when it's yep. done with the right intention, and you're coming from this place
only
of knowing what you're willing to put up with and not put up with. That's to me self-love.
And how many people claim, well, I'm an empath, so I tend to be people pleasing. And I don't, you know, and the reason you keep letting people drain your vital life force energies is because somebody drained you, somebody wounded you, and you got hurt. Here's our inner child again. And you got hurt. So you want to be out there to validate yourself by saying, look, I'm not that person that does that. I'll listen as long as you want to. In the meantime, they've extracted a whole bunch of your energy juice and they're walking away feeling fantastic. And they become the energy thief or the vampirical energy that wants to show up again and again, because we teach people how to treat us by what we allow. And because you didn't set a boundary and you didn't, you know, maintain the time that you wanted to allow that person to have some space with you, that can be really pleasant. Mm-hmm. But if they go overboard and it's wham, 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 it's all about me, la, la, la. I look at them and go, shall I call you a whine ambulance? You want a whambulance right now? Because I'm not sitting here letting you whine. You do that with everybody you know. And in the South, we say you're wearing the hairs off the goat's ass.
All right.
Do you want to have...
Let's rein it in here and get you to the signs, because we're already an hour and 15 minutes
okay.
in.
Okay. So and, for you Leos,
yeah.
for you Leos, this full moon is absolutely your spotlight on an emotional, mystical, and let me add this, psychological and psychic level. So for Leos, that's a very strong sign. So for Leos, Leos are their best when they're generous and they're giving. Leo is, let me entertain you. Leo's, let me make you laugh. Leos in their relationships love the partner, their lover, that it lightens up the room and makes them laugh no matter what the circumstances are, financially or personally. If they've had a hard day and they've got that friend or that partner that just lightens up the atmosphere, that's what a Leo is going to go toward. So this is your full moon. And for all the signs, if you're a Leo or a Leo rising or a Leo moon, you're going to be able to have the Leo aspect of our chart is going to show us where we need some brevity, some joviality, where we need to lighten up our schedule, our mood, and our dynamics. So I would like to suggest to all the signs, go to your favorite little eatery, go to your favorite little food truck or place that you like to go, and just get some comfort food. Or, you know, go with that friend that makes you laugh. Go with that friend you can let your hair down with. Just laugh, you know, without an agenda of like, does he like me? Does she love me? Don't do that. Just go have a good time with that person that doesn't expect you to give all your energy to them or you to get energy from them. That, because Leo is the music, the dance, the entertainment, the fact that, God, I love hanging out with you. That's the plus of a Leo full moon. And a Leo, if you know Leos, those are the people that could say, do you want to go fishing? Do you want to go for a hike? Do you want to go to the movies? Yeah, let's just do that. No expectations of either one of you making the mood better for them. It's just fun to be in their aura. So if you're an Aquarian, it's your birthday cycle. It's your solar return. But this full moon is lighting up your intimate sector. It's lighting up an awareness, whether you're ready or not, of the people that are for you or against you right now. Because a lot of people like to look at the seventh house as, ooh, who I'm going to end up with and who my best intimate choice. No, the seventh house describes what you're going to lean into, what type of sign or person that you'll be drawn to. But it's also the house of people that will be envious of you, people that will try to take your medicine or take your man or your woman. So the seventh house is also what's opposite you. So if you're an Aquarian, I would suggest to you that whatever best friend or tribal buddy or family member or lover that you have, even though it's your birthday, this full moon is a full moon for you to appreciate and lean into that friend, that partner, that ally. This is the full moon for you to celebrate the people that are reliable and have integrity in your life. If you're a Cancerian moon child, this is falling in your second house of why and what you choose to prioritize as material or life values. Like, what's your top three priorities right now? Leo is going to show you how you can kind of groom that and tighten that up and freshen that up. And are your top three priorities that make you feel secure still the same order? Like, look at that. So if you had a priority coming in at the end of 2022, if I want to move, I want to sell my house, and that was in your top three priorities, if you've already done that, if you moved or sold your house, it's off the list. You got to find another top three. So Cancers right now are trying to see where they need to declutter, downsize, eliminate that which is draining their emotional energies. Cancers don't relax in a relationship at all until they feel secure. So if you want to love a Cancer, Cancer rising, Cancer moon, you have to let them know, we may agree to disagree, but you can rely on me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm that person that will show up and be honest with you. Because Cancers get all wonky if they think people are playing games with them. They don't like that.
No, so we don't. No, we don't.
Yeah, they'll withdraw. So if you're a Cancer right now, you need to keep on your top three priority list the people in my life that I absolutely feel secure with. That doesn't ever leave your top three priority list, ever. Because it's just indigenous to being born or having a Cancer rising or moon. If you're a Capricorn, and some extra money could be coming in. If you're a Capricorn, it's your eighth house. So Capricorns lean into pragmatic and stoic and practical micromanagement of their earth life. But here's the eighth house. And the eighth house is like, okay, something's got to give. Something's got to die. You got to stop hanging on to them. You got to stop hanging on to that. It's causing you trauma. You're too attached to the inheritance. You're too attached to the crap that you've collected that go back to your childhood, or my mama left me that, or my daddy did it that way. So Capricorns have to like become more present and be more in the now right now. And so it may be that they're going through the shedding of the old versions of themselves. They need to kind of like, okay, that helped you then. That worked 10 years ago. That's not who you are now. So let go of that trauma bond. Let go of that codependency. Period. Exclamation point. If you're a Gemini, it's your third house. Mars is still in Gemini for a while, and it hovers around that 8 degrees for a while. So here's where Gemini goes into the minus category. Geminis can be very mercurial and engaging and witty and charismatic until they start telling the same damn story again and again And again, they hang up with one person on the car phone, they get on with the next person, and they're on the same damn paragraph. All they did was change audience. And it's like, really? So if you're a Gemini, time to realize what's boring. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Time to realize that you're sucking other people's life force energy and you're trying to dominate the audience, whether it's one or 15, by keeping all eyes on you. So Gemini, you need to up your game as an instructor, as a teacher, and how you're studying and being a more effective student, because if anybody needs to pay attention to the word game and how many words are being used, and if you're really listening or only listening so you can hurry up and speak again, that's Gemini with this full moon. Yeah, I said it. If you're Sagittarius, it's ninth house. So Sagittarians are very invested in their spirituality. It could be, not all journeys are physical, but if you're a Sagittarius, you're longing to do something out of the box with this Aquarian energy, to travel, to be around different cultures, to get together with the friends and really discuss the deeper aspects of soul and psychology. So taking a course, doing a weekend seminar, learning something new about your own psychological skill sets, that would be very good if you're a Sagittarius. If you're a Taurus, this Leo energy, in a sense, is saying to you, what's at the core of your soul? Are you at home with yourself? How are career and home beginning to balance out for you? Because when you count from Taurus, if you're a Taurus and you count the signs, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, it's a fourth house dynamic. So Taurus is looking at, do I still want to live in this house, this city, this state, this country? And am I finding myself a little more intrigued by that foreign element or an unusual belief that might be an addition or an add-on to some concepts and beliefs that I already enjoy? Like my Christianity and my Native American energy blended beautifully for me. Those were tools in my toolbox that blended with Reiki and my numerology and my animal totems. It all like added into my toolbox of metaphysics and personal enlightenment engineering. So there's a way that you can start to add your toolbox, Taurus. If you're a Scorpio, it's 10th house. So it's about who works well with you and the dynamics of your skill, your career, how you want to expand yourself, what parts of what you do, what's the work that you love versus the work that's draining you. And for a lot of Scorpios, there's a relative parental dynamic that's going on, like who plays the father figure, who plays the mother figure. Even if your actual parents are deceased or not as active in your life right now, is that person that you're attracted to bringing up your father patterns or your mother patterns? So it's time to look at the psychology of like, ooh, how am I incorporating my subconscious habit patterns into my current relationships? Like, are the lessons coming back? All you did was change the human body. If you're an Aries, Leo's a fire sign, and Aquarius and Aries get along very well too. So it's a cycle to kind of flirt with life and let life flirt with you. Because Leo is out to have a good time and Aries is like, let's go. I was ready yesterday. And Aquarius is like, well, do something different, dumbass. So Aquarius is like, go do something that you haven't done before. You know, go listen to, if you always love rave music or rock music, go do a country thing or go do some kind of mystical thing, you know, like go take a drumming circle, do something different and not just in the main culture that you're used to. For some of you Aries, it'll be a very intense cycle to do if you have children. So it's your creativity children that you're birthing. So Aries are very pregnant with possibility, even if they don't have kids. I'll say it again. You are with child and pregnant with possibilities in your creative skill sets. If you're an Aries that has children, that child could come into focus and need some of your time. If you're a Libra, and Libras love to play too, like Leo, that's the L team, you know, the Leos and the Libras. It's in your 11th house. I would say, Libras, that you need to expand your social circle, that you kind of expect too much from the current circle of friends to help your mood or to you to show up and, you know, hope that they recognize you. Sometimes you Libras get a little too thirsty and a little too needy for applause or attention. So like, you know, you don't need to be told every time you show up how well you dress or how cute your shoes are or how well-groomed you are, okay? You just don't need to do it. So just show up as you are and enjoy that without the need for somebody to go, oh my God, your hair always looks so good. Thank you. You left the house needing to hear that shit. And so if you're a Libra, go out and let the artistry. Libras have great interior design skills. They have a great way of being a life coach and encouraging people. They kind of hope, sort of, yeah, that they'd get that back. But Libras know how to find that. They know how to investigate and find those people that can be uplifting and positive. So your Libra friends, yeah, they can get you into something that's encouraging. So if you need some encouragement, call on your Libras. If you're a Pisces, well, I tell you, you Pisces and Virgos, our last two signs here, you're on the soul surgery table. If you're a Pisces, this full moon is saying to you, when we count the order again, okay, if Virgo is your opposite sign, and that's number 7, Leo is your 6th house. So Leo is saying, are you really, really taking care of yourself, or are you relying on that opioid or the joint or staying drunk or wanting to be in your bed all the time and bark orders at other people? Are you addicted to the opioids? Are you taking a little extra Xanax or Adderall? Because Pisces get into addiction easily. The signs that can get into addiction easily are Pisces and Libra. So Pisces, this is a full moon that's going to shine a spotlight on, are you lying to yourself? Are you getting caught up in the addictive escapism? And is it time that you really listen to the doctor or the intervention or the family member that cares about you and saying, you're running from life. You're just running from life. When are you going to stop being the hamster in the wheel? And if you're a Virgo, so it's a great cycle to take care of your health and dive in to some more holistic, natural ways, like changing the diet, looking at the different foods or nutritional remedies that may help you detox. And finally, if you're a Virgo, what's going on if you're a Virgo right now is this full moon is in your 12th house. It's embryonic. It's you looking at the spirit world, because when you're embryonic, when it's the sign before your sign, either in your solar return, so a month before your birthday on Earth, and also the full moon that's in the sign before, like next month, the full moon will be in your sign. So this full moon in Virgo is saying, how are you doing in the most tender, private, personal aspects of your psychological self? How are you doing with you? Are you fighting with yourself? Are you in a battlefield in your thought world or your belief system of light versus dark? So instead of shaming and blaming yourself, Virgo, and instead of avoiding, make a list and just start clicking off those procrastination things that you really don't want to spend the money on, or you're afraid to spend the money on it, but it needs to be done. Get the damn new flooring. Go ahead and upgrade your blinds. Go ahead and hire a different yard person if the people that you hired last year irritated you and you had to follow after them all the time. Stop the discontent or the discord and start leveling up your game to do with the people that don't irritate you and that you don't have to be bougie and micromanage all the time. Those are the people that are worth you spending money on. So Virgos, I feel like they're doing house projects and looking at what they've been putting off, they now have to come to terms with before May of this year. Mm. And that's the signs.
Thank you, Mary. And I just want to say to everyone, like on a side note for this full moon, is that, you know, Leo is about the inner child. It's about the heart, but it's also about being seen, having the spotlight on you. And for those of you who've been hiding from your destined spotlight, this could be a really great full moon for you to bring into illumination the actions that you need to take with that beautiful trine happening with Mars and Gemini.
Yes.
To really understand, what do I need to do to put myself in the spotlight and allow myself to be seen in a way that is truly in alignment with my destiny and what my soul desires for this life? And it's, you know, if you do take that risk, you really might get that reward that's going to really pay off in the end. So see what's coming up for you in this full moon. What's getting illuminated? What needs to stop and come to a close so you can finally begin to allow the light to be illuminated over you and what God has given you, what the universe has given you to bestow upon this earth, that perhaps you've been dragging your heels or taking yourself off course, and now it's time to get back on course and liberate yourself from the chains that you've been stuck in of mundane, ordinary life, in the sense of what you've always been doing that you thought you should be doing or what's been expected of you. Break free of that. It's time to shine. Thank you, Mary, for coming on the show. And it's clearly time for your voice to rest. Spirit has let us know that it's time for you to let your voice rest. Let everyone know where they can find you. Of course, all the details are in the show notes before, but I want to also say, if you really enjoy Mary's forecasting for the moons, you can check out her new moon forecast on Joe Roop's podcast, Lighting the Void, which happens every new moon. And if you're interested in booking a session with Mary, let them know where they can find you.
Thank you, honey. It's Mary, M-A-R-Y, Ducina, D as in divine, U, S as in spirit, I, N as in now, A.com. And the next new moon broadcast will be February the 20th on the fringe.fm, fringe.fm. And his website is www.lightingthevoid.com. And that's Joe Roop. And the Leo thing I want to sign off with is, to thine own self be true. Mm-hmm. To thine own self be true. Your soul knows. And your heart rises when you listen to your soul voice. And we all have it. We all have it. So just honor it and go have some fun.
Yes. Have some fun. Be playful. Let the inner child out and let him or her guide you and show you what it means to have fun and be playful and be lighthearted. It's so important in these times. So thank you,
Nicole. Thank you, audience. Thank you for supporting Nicole. Yep. Thank you. And we'll be back on the Virgo. We'll be back on the Virgo moon to talk about our health and wellness and the part of our body that the zodiac sign rules. We'll do a little bit of holistic astrology next month.
Ooh, fun. Okay, perfect. Well, look out for that. That will be coming at the end of February, early March. So, guys, I love you so much. Have an incredible evening, and I'll see you guys next week.
Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.